For legit, though, can I just say that I thought that you had mistyped the Glover autocorrect when you wrote the Glomar response? And I looked it up and I was like, oh, that's a real thing.
It is.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our friend Eric Knight is back to talk to us about choral music and how it's okay to sing religious music even if you're an atheist.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
And Tim Wick.
D-S-E-Ray. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
That was thematic. It was.
Uh-huh. The reason that's thematic, or is it, is because of what we're talking about with our guest this week. Our guest is returning friend of the show, Eric Knight.
Hello. I am Eric Knight.
In excelsis Deo.
All right. And Eric is here to talk about religious music in school.
Yeah, well, I'm going to just say right up front, I am no expert in this topic, but it was just kind of a fun thing that crossed my mind a while ago that might be an interesting thing to chat about.
Yeah.
So
I went to a public school, like, in Minneapolis, and there was no religious music that I can remember at all. So the question was baffling to me at first, because I was like, what religious music?
It's worth noting Nick wasn't in choir.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is, I think, an important distinction.
No, that is.
I had nothing to do with any sort of music in high school beyond, you know, being a teenager who listened to music.
Yeah. And so the main thing is that in a lot of music programs in schools, just generally speaking, if you're going to have people be in a choir program, so much of the history and lexicon of choral music and choirs and things like that are grounded in religious writing, especially because hundreds of years ago, many years ago, so much of the sponsorship and patronage of the arts was religious because the church has had a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's why you have things like the Sistine Chapel and, you know, a lot of great works of art were created in a lot of different forms because of that. And so a lot of older historical choral music tradition is religious based just simply because that's how they were going to make money.
Yeah. I went to a K through 12 private school that was non-religious. It was actually a secular school. I was in concert choir and I was actually it was like VIP secret concert choir, if that makes sense. It was like the cream of the crop of the concert choir that met at 00 hours. So we had to get to school at 6:15 in the morning. We competed. Like, we sang along. We sang with Normandale College because my choir director was friends with theirs. And, like, we did a tour where we went around a couple places in the Twin Cities and sang. But, like, all we sang was, like Gloria and basically songs that are basically Gloria, you know, just lots of, we did Vivaldi's Four Seasons, I think, or something along those lines.
But in other words, most of the stuff you did in that group was all religious?
It was mostly religious. And then we had a few things that I will still call religious because they were, God help me, they were Negro spirituals. So we had a whole bunch of white teenagers singing those.
Yeah, actually,
that's great.
My son Devin was in an all-city choir a couple of years ago. So this was grade school students. And one of the songs they did as the all-city choir was a Negro spiritual.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
We did.
Really? That's what you're going
to do? We did the Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember which one it was.
I just remember looking at that list and going, really?
Guys.
I know we did Swing Low. We did Swing Low.
Boy.
Well, and so, you know,
But it's respecting their culture.
Is it?
Bunch of white. Yeah, like I was in the western suburbs, so I went to a high school in Plymouth, which was so overwhelmingly white in the 80s when I was there. And I don't know what it's like now, but yeah, I mean, it was like that notable, like, out of a class of 800 kids, I think we maybe had a dozen black kids.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. And so, but, you know, one of the things to me is that that's a little tricky about it is that I think how they hand, I think it's, it is possible to avoid religious music.
Yeah.
But you are taking out a lot of really good music, a lot of historical music, and it's about making the, I think, to me, it's about making the right choices and using the right context. For instance, if you're going to have your December choir concert, don't call it a Christmas concert. Call it a holiday concert.
What if it's only Christmas
call
music?
Call it a war on Christmas concert.
Here's the question.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
I would go to a war on Christmas concert. I would go, can the Dregs this year do a war on holiday?
War on Christmas.
I would like that idea.
That'd be fun, yeah. No, and so A, you call it a holiday concert, not a Christmas concert.
Yeah.
B, as long as there is a selection that is broader than just that content and have it be a mix, you know, then you're not focusing on, oh, now it's all religious based.
So here's
and the attitude of the people leading that, I think, make, you know, goes a long way to how it's received.
So genuine question, what songs would you think worked in a holiday concert that aren't religious? Because we did a holiday concert at my school, and it was a bunch of Christian carols, a bunch of secular, but it's still Christmas carols, and then two Jewish songs, and one song that she said was for Kwanzaa that I don't believe her.
There are a bunch of songs that are about, like, snow, but not Christmas.
Yeah, there's, Let It Snow.
Sure, it's still
That's a Christmas song. Yeah.
Let It Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to be a Christian song to be
no,
like.
No, but it doesn't mention Christmas at all. It's just a winter song. But we only sing it around Christmas because that's the only time we sing winter music.
Sleigh ride.
So do you think Jewish people feel like that song speaks to them?
It's like Baby It's Cold Outside isn't a Christmas song.
I didn't do Baby It's Cold Outside for some reason.
But it is basically almost a Catholic song in a lot of ways.
Zing.
Wait, if it was a little kid singing to Father It's Cold Outside.
Oh, man.
But the other approach that someone could do, though, if you're going to take that even another step back, in my opinion, is instead of calling it even a holiday concert, what if it is just your winter concert as opposed to, say, your spring concert?
Yeah.
And then
we did that
too. It doesn't all have to be holiday themed, and it could have, you know, it can have a couple, you know, a few religious or whatever, but have that spectrum of other secular choral music, just generally speaking, just do a lot of cool music that you like.
Well, let me back up and say, doesn't it depend a little bit when you're doing religious music on the context? So, for instance, if in high school somebody does a comparative religions class, and in comparative religions class, they teach about Christianity along with Judaism and Islam.
You mean they compare religions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of, well, let's do a historical Bible class, which is really teaching Christianity.
Right.
So, when you're doing choir music, especially, and you're right, a lot of choral music is religious in nature. Doesn't a lot of it go down to the context in which it's being presented, i.e. we're just presenting it as music rather than we are presenting it as a celebration of God?
Yeah, but like only Christian music is getting presented, right? I mean, like, it's either a religious or Christian. It's not like there's a wealth of backgrounds being represented in this winter music. It's like there's both kinds of music, country and Western. Like, it's Christian.
I'm talking about choral music in general, not necessarily just a winter concert at this point.
But like with choral music as well, then. I mean, from what Eric's sounding like saying, it sounds like the golden oldies of choral music are all Christian.
Not all, but a lot.
Predominantly.
It's like Christian or it's based on like the seasons. Or like something about like,
Anything that's like classical composers, you know, the choral music written by the Mozarts, the Beethovens, the Vivaldis, etc. Pretty much all of that is going to have some sort of religious theming to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also in Latin, so who the fuck knows what you're saying, right? I mean,
my school did. Guess they just had a little better education.
For me, like, we've talked about this with talking about Christmas music in the past, like, religiosity in music is kind of a deal breaker for me a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, a good example would be Chance the Rapper. Like, I like Chance's music. Like, I like a lot of, he's a talented rapper, but like, he talks about God a lot.
Yo,
and
really?
There are a couple of Chance songs that I really like. And then about 2/3 of the way into the song, I just skip to the next song. Cause it's like, it gets really godly.
Glory be unto him.
Like, big time. And it's just like, all other ways, like, I really like the music, but once it gets to that point, it's just, I'm just checked out. Like, it just is unappetizing to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've never really been into chorus music either.
Sure.
Not specifically because there's religion involved in it, but, I mean, it's not helping.
There are, another just... on a little side note or example, about 11, 12 years ago, a friend of mine who was looking for additional singers for a concert that he was going to do at a church. And I was available and I did it. And it was funny because I like mentioned to some people at work, oh, hey, I'm in this thing in case anybody's into, you know, choral music stuff. And not all the pieces were religious, but, you know, over half of them were.
Yeah.
And one of the people came to me a little bit later, was like, I didn't think you were religious. And I'm like, I'm not, but I'm singing in this thing because it's fun. And a friend of mine's leading it. And I knew one of the pieces and I was really interested in doing that piece again, you know, that I really enjoyed.
So here's a question. Is it disingenuous to sing a religious song when you are an atheist? Because, for example, if I'm going to church, if a friend is making me go to church, it doesn't happen often, but like there are certain people, mostly family, but in my life who I love, if they were like, it's really important to me that you go to this church, like the baptism of our nibblings, for example, right?
Yeah. Right.
Going to church, right? I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to say anything. I will be respectful. I will stand. I will sit, whatever, but I'm not going to like, I feel that it's lip service and it's disingenuous for me to even pretend.
Right.
So then my question is, did you feel in that moment that you were being at all disingenuous when this song is intended to glorify God, to sing about how God is is glory and all the good things about it? I mean, I know it's maybe in Latin necessarily, but did any part of you feel that you were, I don't know, like that you shouldn't have been doing it for their reasons more than your own?
For me personally, it's all just about enjoying. If this is something I'm going to enjoy singing, I don't care.
Was it part of a church service or was it just a concert?
It was a concert.
Would that change your mind?
Afternoon.
If your friend said, hey, my church choir needs new members, just not every Sunday, just like one Sunday a month, would you mind, like your voice is so good. Would you come sing with us once a month in our church choir at service?
So while I process that, let me point out that I know several people who do local, like, you know, like really, I mean, much better singers than I'll ever be.
Obviously.
But people who work like leading church choirs as paid gigs or as paid members of local church choirs that are atheist. Like, I mean, there's a notable amount of people out there doing that.
Sure. That doesn't necessarily mean that their
notable
morality...
being more than zero.
I'm asking about your morality.
Right, right.
Your ethics.
Right.
Because I wouldn't take their money. Personally,
okay.
Not because like, oh, their money's dirty, but more like, I feel like that's a holy space to them and what they want. Just like how I wouldn't want to do a wedding service with Jesus in it, because what you want is someone who believes in what they're saying when they're marrying you, not someone who's just saying words.
Sure. I have an answer to your question, but I want to let Eric answer because he's the guest.
I think there's a little bit of intent for me, like, do I get the vibe that they actually expect that I am also a believer?
Nope, or they know you're an atheist.
They know I'm an atheist.
So your friend
and
does.
It's a paid gig. Yeah.
Your friend does. He's not going to mention it to the rest of the church choir. Yeah.
So I think the fact that you have to think about it points out that there is a bit of a rub
there's
there.
Something
like,
there.
But okay, but by way of comparison, like I have occasionally, you know, in the many years I've been atheist, I've occasionally gone to a church service with my parents.
Sure.
You know, like you've described certain circumstances. And I will sing along with songs in there. And I don't feel like, for me, it's not a problem because I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. I'm enjoying singing mm-hmm. along. And that's all. It's as yeah. simple as that for me.
Okay, so there are a couple of different things here to unpack. The first question is singing a religious song and do I feel disingenuous? If I'm just singing a religious song, then I'm just singing. So it's
not praying to
it's
you?
It's the same thing.
It's praying to them.
Okay, but no, think about this. If I'm singing a song as the Dregs and I'm singing about how awesome booze is, I still don't drink.
Sure. So I feel like that's a little different.
Except it's not because it's acting.
You hear that, Christians? Tim thinks you're the same as alcoholics.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Both of you listening.
Yeah. But no.
Sorry, Jenna.
Sorry, Adam. yeah. But the thing is that
those
that
are the two.
just singing a song to me is just singing as now. If you're asking me, would I go into church and sing in a choir in a church service,
mm-hmm.
that to me is different.
That's different. So now question. So you're saying when you sing a song as the Dregs,
sure,
you don't feel anything. Other songs make you feel things?
Well, I feel the music,
sure.
and I enjoy that. And sometimes...
Like Sam Hall is not a religious song.
No.
But I bet it makes you feel something.
It sure does. But, sure. But how about Keg on My Coffin, which is a song essentially... It's not a religious song, but it references heaven. And to me, it's like I don't feel disingenuous even though I don't believe
sure.
heaven exists.
Yeah.
And I feel something in that song.
There are lots of Irish songs that are super Jesus-y. If one of the Dregs wanted to do one, would you do one?
Sure. If they wanted to do that, I mean, it's unlikely. None of the Dregs are super
right.
Jesus-y. If somebody's like, I really like this song and I want to do it,
yeah.
then I think if we all like the song as well, we just sing it.
So it's more about the music with the Dregs.
Right.
But you can't make it just about the music when you go to church.
No, I can't.
So okay, so wait, so what if, I'm guessing you would say yes to this, if a church hired the Dregs to sing, do a all religious music showcase, at the church,
and they're not paying very well,
it would be short.
You would do it. You would. I mean, because it's just a gig, right?
You know, that's interesting, and we've done a couple of funerals.
Funerals are different. That's for a person.
I know, but when I've done funerals, I've been really pretty adamant about not singing religious music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I do Parting Glass.
Yep.
I've been asked to do it several times. And there are two ways to sing Parting Glass because you get to the end of the verse and it's good night and God be with you
mm-hmm.
or good night and joy be with you all.
Mm-hmm.
I never sing God be with you all, mm-hmm. not even in a church. I won't do it.
I've never heard it with God be with you all. I've only ever
yeah.
heard joy be with you all.
I learned it as God be with you all. And I'm pretty sure that's
wow.
the original version. But joy is the word that I use because it's more inclusive. And I even singing at somebody's funeral for somebody who's religious, was religious, I won't do it. Not in a church because I am disrespecting the people in a church if I'm singing a religious tune.
Hmm. So we know Tim's answer. Eric, how much would it take for you to sing religious songs for pay?
$5 for me, by the way. $5.
Yeah, we know.
You heard that, everyone. You can hire the Dregs for $5 only. I guess the question is, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm like on a high horse or anything, but I guess one of the reasons I've always said I'm not going to pray at your church service, I'm not going to sing mm-hmm. at your church service is because to you, those are prayers. They are entreaties to God. I don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's me being more of an asshole at your church service. Because I am bearing false witness, which is one of the worst things you can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's up there to them. I mean, it's
commandment-wise.
It's way above raping kids. So...
There's
no commandment for that. So I guess the question is
your neighbor's kids. You can't covet your neighbor's kids.
But I mean, I guess the question is like,
wife. Is
there anything that makes you feel like, are there any no-goes with music for you, Eric? Are there any Christian music or we'll say religious music? Because I guess there's like, I mean, the only Jewish songs I know are like the two or three we sang in choir, which I don't know any hymns because I haven't been to actual like temple or services. But let's just stick with Christianity here. Is there any situation in which you wouldn't feel comfortable singing a Christian song?
I guess if somebody overtly said, you know, we're going to sing this song, it's a song of prayer, and I only want you to join in if you really feel that.
So they have
spirit.
To put the caveat there.
Yeah,
like when
but
those
if it's
two
just,
kids.
Hey, we're going to sing this song, and it's like it's religious, but whatever. Or like if it's in a.
What if it's like
church.
we're gonna have a remembrance service for these people that you didn't know who died, and we want everyone to get together and hold hands and sing this hymn, and it's your favorite hymn.
Or her.
God damn it. And it's your favorite them. THEMN.
Well, my favorite them is the MN, yeah. Yeah, I mean I guess there are certainly situations where I might, you know, I'd be more likely to stand there and not be like, I'm not going to speak along with this prayer. People are closing their eyes.
Yeah, speak along, but sing along.
Looking at the cousin across the circle who's also got their eyes open.
But singing the music is what changes it for you.
Well, I mean, in some music cases, I probably also wouldn't sing along. But again, music, for me, a lot of music is not separate, but has an additional layer that transcends a little bit of like caring that much about what it's saying as opposed to just enjoying the music. I'm much more like some people who are music fans are much more lyrics people versus the
music
people. And I'm way more of a music person. I love good vocal harmonies. The meaning of the lyrics is not something I pay nearly as much attention to as other aspects of music.
Is that, do you think a part of that is because the history of choral music is that, you know, most of it was supported to be religious, and that's just what there is? Like, do you feel like it's
chicken
more acceptable, right? It's more acceptable to sing religious music, and it's not like a deal breaker for you, whereas prayer would be, because there's a long history of choral music being predominantly religious.
Well,
like,
but I mean,
that's just the status quo.
But I wasn't atheist when I was singing a lot of those songs in high school either. And a lot of the other older music is just folk songs that some of them have lasted and a lot of them didn't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. Hard to say.
Do any of you at this table, are there any Christian pop songs that you secretly like that you've heard? I will say I have been... but there is a Muse song called "Dig Down" that the chorus is "Dig Down and Find Faith," and there is a part about like in the song about how like when God has turned the other way, and so to me I'm always like, okay, I can justify this. I love Muse. This is a song about finding faith in yourself, finding faith in people. It's not about God. However, Mumford and Sons, there was a song that I really liked that all of a sudden turned a little bit Jesus-y, and I was like, oh, I'm done with Mumford and Sons. Like, so, I mean, are there any, what allowances will you make?
I don't know. The closest I come is some of the religious themes in like the Joshua Tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, because I really like that music.
Yep.
I think that
you two
like,
has some Catholic stuff that
oh,
and some
Christian
stuff that makes me I can't not love it.
Yeah,
okay, in God's Country, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There's some super Christian-y shit going on in there, but it doesn't bug me so much because it's a little more New Agey Christian-y than like super, super evangelical Christian-y stuff going on there.
The closest for me in the 90s, one of the bands I was super into was called King's X.
Mm.
And they were a trio out of Texas, like hard, grungy, but with really good vocal harmonies.
They were the DC talk of the grunge scene.
They weren't quite grunge, but they were sort of grunge. Hard to define, but you know.
Alternative.
Alternative.
Yeah, I loved their stuff and still really like a lot of their material and will listen to every once in a while.
Okay.
You know, kind of, not as much.
Nick, anything?
No. I don't, nothing.
Nothing.
Like, I cannot think of a song that is inherently religious that isn't like ironically religious, like Personal Jesus or something like
Life
that.
In a Northern Town.
I want to back up though. Sorry. King's X was not overtly like, we're a Christian rock band. It was
more subtle to try to get you into it in a sneaky way.
maybe, but Sorry. Thanks, Tim. Maybe, but yeah, they weren't, because there's a big difference. Like, anybody who was overtly, we were a Christian rock band, like, I wouldn't go anywhere fucking near that.
Sure.
I didn't care what they said.
It was the
like.
Sneaky subtle stuff that got you.
Sure, but then again, it's like if they're not shoving it down people's throat, or if they're not recruiting people at concerts.
Yeah,
I mean, I went and saw them live multiple times. They never did any of that. Oh, and at the end of the show, where you can come over and get this pamphlet, or we can sign you up for blah. There's
come get your promise rings.
Yeah, there's U2 stuff. There's live U2, because I was such a U2 fan in high school. As I got a little nuts with it, there was so much. There's so much live stuff where they're like. Getting a little a little much with the God and the Jesus. Well, it was It was a big. It's Ireland, man, in the 80s. Like, it's a big deal. Catholic versus Protestant. It's a big fucking deal. It's a political issue.
Yeah.
And so I think part of me is able to excuse it as it being a political issue and not so much as a religious thing, especially considering later
cultural.
So I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Even if with U2, it was really much because they were very much the, against all the violence around religion and all that. But they still, they were talking about it from a religious perspective, probably because that's the language that everybody in Ireland would understand.
As we all know, it's very difficult to get rid of Catholicism.
It is.
It's
it keeps coming back.
Yeah, it's like herpes. Yeah. Are you ever really not?
it's the no birth control.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think you've given us something to think about, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
And let's go to five questions.
Questions.
Yeah. Has Eric Knight not answered our most recent five questions?
He hasn't, so we're going to ask him five questions.
That's okay. Weird.
This is so exciting.
I know. Molly, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Eric, what conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
My favorite conspiracy theory is not even a real conspiracy theory in the sense. In the 90s, Tim and I were friends with a guy named Christopher at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, also traveled and did some other festivals. Christopher would do this thing where if he was sitting around a campfire at a festival and people started talking about wacky conspiracy theory bullshit, and these are people who believe this.
Oh, yeah, I've met them.
Hippy dippy.
They believe it all.
They may have inspired the question.
Yeah, after a little while, Christopher would start talking about cheese.
Okay.
And, what it tastes like and what's in there. Why do we really get so addicted to it? And what's going on? And, like, the government gives it away for free. Entire semi-trailer load. And he would get, and he could go on for over 5 minutes, just gradually escalating the mood of the whole thing.
That's great.
And to this crescendo where when he got done, no one brought up another conspiracy theory. He killed the conversation with this performance piece.
That's
every
great.
Time. It was brilliant and it was super funny.
That's
and
great. That's is he still alive?
He is still alive.
Does he still
as
perform?
Far as we know.
Does he perform?
I don't think he performs.
Yeah, well, fuck him then.
I believe I'm still friends with him on Facebook, though.
Of course you are.
Question number two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object. Physics is a limiting factor.
So I don't really have a specific place or bucket list of locations. I just really like going to places I haven't been before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would want to try and see if I could do like 4 different cities in Europe or somewhere that was close enough that you could basically travel, be somewhere for 3 days, do another half day, 3 days.
Yeah, like a little train ride.
Train rides, flights, short flights, whatever. So, some of the places that would be on the list of options would be, I've actually never been to Paris other than a layover in the airport. I have been to London, but I haven't been.
You won't be able to go to London at this point because it'll be like a million customs and it's a whole other country now. Just stick to the rest of EU.
Not quite yet. I'm going to London this Friday, by the way.
Then
before Brexit.
Check it off your list.
I know,
you can just do an EU.
No, but like maybe somewhere in the British Isles, like Scotland or Ireland, that isn't London. Somewhere in one of the Nordic countries, Budapest would be great. Prague in the Czech Republic, Athens. Somewhere in Spain, Istanbul. I mean, just there are a lot of places that would be really cool. And so if that physics limiting factor is like, okay, here's a way I could hit several places.
You know, if it's Eric's dream vacation, he could just be like, in my dream vacation, there's no Brexit and I can travel between
Well, money is no object,
country.
So I'm pretty sure you could bribe.
The problem is time. I don't know, man. Time is the main issue.
Eric, when you get to London this week, just like be sure when you're there to just take a moment to look around and be like, it's all going to be fucking burned to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Apologize to every British person you see. Say, I'm so sorry for what's about to happen.
But you do realize that it's your fault because you could have stopped it.
Yeah, we have the... Just give them your empathy. Give them your empathy.
I will. I'll be very kind. I'll try to be not very American.
Just remember what it felt like on that fateful day in November of 2016.
When we said,
when
oh,
the Americans
sure, UK,
made
hold
the
my
second
beer.
Dumbest
yeah.
political decision yeah. of
Just
the year.
Just think of that other thing that the Russians orchestrated.
So
question number three, what's a movie or a book that changed your life and how or why?
Okay, so I hate to say this based on what we know about the author now, but it would be Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So I actually read the original short story first because my older brother had the analog magazine that was published
in
77. And I was like, I was 10, 11 years old, whatever. And I read it and I thought it was great. I started collecting his books.
Mm.
And then, you know, including a short story collection that included that. And then when the novel came out in 85, I bought it. You know, pretty quickly I heard about it and went and got that too. And I read the book several times over the course of several years too. And so say what you want about him and some of the other shit he's written and done and whatever, but I think that book still stands really well.
It's a great book. Homophobes can just write like anyone else, it turns out.
Yeah, what do you know?
And they're not writing about gay people.
Yep.
I've read Ender's Game a good handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've read
the whole series.
I haven't read all of the Shadow books.
Right.
Because I don't care, kind of. Like, I read Ender's Shadow, and then after that, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to read about Peter. Like, why would you want to read more about Peter? What the fuck?
Isn't the whole point that Peter is boring?
that he's awful. Why would I want to read books where the fucking protagonist is a child sociopath? But I like them. And even the later books, like Speaker for the Dead, is an a-religious religion is formed, which is kind of cool and kind of interesting.
I will say, it is fascinating to me how much religion and really overtly not Christianity is in his stuff. Like, I'm kind of impressed on that level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's almost cultish.
Well, he is a Mormon.
If you can read his books without supporting him financially.
He understands cults.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody understood cults,
innately,
it'd be a Mormon.
Yeah. And fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fiction.
Question four. What's the geekiest... Eric Knight, performer at the Renaissance Festival who works at a board game company. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I'm pretty sure I'm the only person in the world who has ever made several different costumes for an inflatable dinosaur.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Now, costumes for the dinosaur, not costumes to wear while wearing an inflatable dinosaur costume, which is, those have become all the rage lately.
You're talking
about a smallish, inflatable,
5-foot-tall inflatable dinosaur.
Yes.
Standalone dinosaur.
For which you've made custom fitted costumes.
His name is Rex.
Name is Rex. Yeah, I made costumes on several different occasions.
A Matrix costume.
Neo and the Matrix.
A couple of different Star Trek costumes.
A set of Jedi robes.
Yep.
Easter Bunny.
Oh, okay.
Going way, way back.
Wasn't there a Star Trek costume?
Oh, yeah, Star Trek. Yeah. There's a Star Trek costume. Yep. He was Spock.
This is incredible.
Wasn't he also a Gorn?
He was the Gorn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from Arena, original Trek episode.
Because, you make dog hoodies, and I like that something bested that. But here we are, and it's costumes for an inflatable, not even a real animal.
Eric, you there's one costume you made for yourself that you at Fantasy Flight, there's some costume hijinks around Halloween.
Yeah, we have costume contests.
And I know you've done some punny costumes. Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind is the X-Wing corset.
Yeah.
So we have a game called X-Wing. And the first iteration of a game is called the core set, and then there's expansions. So Eric made himself an X-Wing corset.
Uh-huh. Just describe what you how you dressed as the X-Wing corset.
So I actually sewed a corset. I had bought fabric, just Star Wars licensed fabric from the regular old fabric store. And it was, you know, kind of outer space scenes, but also like the Star Wars logo.
Yeah.
And I made a corset out of that. And then on the corset, I also stitched on a few of the little pre-painted ships.
And the game bits.
And a few game bits from... from the actual game.
Now, I know what you're thinking. It can't get geekier than that. But this last year, Eric made himself a costume that was a Renaissance-y kind of like period, like Elizabethan sort of costume that was Han of the King. So like Hand of the King, but it was Han of the King.
Game of Thrones Star Wars mashup.
Game of Thrones Star Wars mashup. So he had his Corellian blood stripes slashed into his pantaloons.
Yep.
And then he had someone 3D sculpt and manufacture it looked like the Hand of the King pin from Game of Thrones, but it was holding a lightsaber instead of the dagger.
Yep. And had the rebel symbol going around
all
the wreath.
Around the edges.
Yep. Yep.
So detailed.
And he had lace trim on his shirt,
I got buttons with the rebel symbol as
well. So he was wearing, white creamish shirt with the black pants with the blood stripes. It was fucking incredible.
But thanks. The nerdiest thing is that he's made costumes for an inflatable dinosaur.
Yes.
Right.
I'm just saying, there's so many things here that are nerdy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just saying I concur. Anyway, question number 5. Hey, Eric, what's your favorite hangover cure?
At the risk of annoying a lot of people, I've had very few hangovers in my life. My main goal is to drink a lot. Avoidance, just drink a lot of water. Like anytime I know I'm going to be drinking more than just a random drink or two, alcohol, glass of water, alcohol, glass of water. Alternate, just because that's the biggest thing is the dehydration. If I do wake up with a hangover, just try and pound some more water and get painkillers and some caffeine.
So question, for your 50th birthday at OmegaCon, your spouse arranged for you to have many drinks. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
And they had arranged for this to happen.
Uh-huh.
So that was not something you could have planned for.
Yeah.
So when they surprised you with this, what did you do? Did you drink a lot of water or did you just drink a lot of alcohol? And did you have a hangover? I am curious.
I don't remember having.
I don't know.
I don't think I did.
I don't wake up with you. They did.
Oh, okay. You drank a lot, so that might be why
remember. You drank a lot, and you were already drunk when I delivered your bikini beer.
Well, there's that.
So I'm just curious. And I was early in the night, so I'm just wondering how drunk you were.
I mean, there's a fair amount of spreading out at the whole weekend, though.
That's fair.
It's maintaining a low level, tipsy to drunk a lot of the time. But yeah. Anyway.
All right. Thanks for your answers, Eric. Mm-hmm. If any of you listeners have any thoughts on religious music or religious choral music or singing religious songs in school.
Gloria.
In excelsis Deo.
Keep them to yourself and don't leave them as a comment. But if you really must, you can leave comments on Facebook. If you're a Patreon supporter, you can leave them on the Patreon posts where all these episodes go up early, except for the last episode, which I put up on the same day. My bad. While we're talking about Patreon, I want to thank Jen P. for upping her pledge. I got to send her a message.
Yeah.
So much closer to that $150 goal.
Thanks, Jen.
A button or a sticker or something.
Jen's great.
otherwise, we will be back next week with another episode. You can send in your answers. Nope, you can send in your questions. That's the one.
That's what we're doing right now.
And we need them.
GeeksTheOutGod.com.
We need them so bad.
Any
so
five bad. Questions. They can be personal, goofy, philosophical, opinionated, or loaded, or trick.
I guarantee your questions aren't any stupider than the ones we've tried to think up ourselves.
That's why we're asking you.
Multiple choice questions.
Oh, yeah. Send us multiple choice.
I like that.
Send us math questions. Don't send us math questions.
No.
you could, though. But send
we'll
us
math questions anything.
At geeksthoughtgod.com. Otherwise, we'll have another episode up next week, which you'll be able to find on iTunes and Google Play and Patreon and all that jazz. Bye.
Bye.
Jazz.
You can't go out there. There's zombies, Coral.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
I'm a little surprised you don't know this because your mom. So,
like, your mom.